This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Trying to convince you.
You took him from me. He loved me.
No. He despised you. You were an embarrassment to him. Oh. Look at little Goblin Jr. Gonna cry?
Hi, welcome back to The Cutting Room Floor. I'm Eric.
And I'm Alex.
And I'm back. I'm Elisa.
Cool. And today, I still can't say it with a serious face. Like, talking about Spider-Man 3, I just, oh.
The sad mark on the Spider-Man universe.
I'm sure we'll get into this. Like, I don't think it was so bad it was irredeemable,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much of it that just doesn't make sense. There's so much that's just like, where on earth did that come from?
When this movie first came out, I liked the message of forgiveness
that it had
back when 06. Now, I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
My feelings have probably changed on that.
We'll get to this, but there's two halves of a movie.
Yeah.
And the first half is pretty much in line with what we've seen before, and then the second half is a hot mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember after I watched that movie, and my friend and I were talking about it. She's like, "That was awesome. I loved that movie." I'm like, "You did?" I'm like, "It was okay."
Right.
But it didn't feel like a Spider-Man movie.
I think I initially liked it more just because it wasn't Spider-Man 2.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, like these are villains I find more compelling,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not enough anymore.
Yeah.
So, should we dive into it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Peter Parker and Mary Jane Watson seem to be finally on the right track in their complicated relationship, but trouble looms for the superhero and his lover. Peter's Spider-Man suit turns black and takes control of him, not only giving Peter enhanced power, but also bringing out the dark side of his personality. Peter must overcome the suit's influence as two supervillains, Sandman and Venom, rise up to destroy him and all those he holds dear. Yeah.
Even the synopsis forgets about Harry.
That's the funny thing is, like, the synopsis plays way into Venom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's in maybe, like, half an hour.
Yeah.
Like, the whole black suit stuff is really a small amount of the movie that leads into the final fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much of the movie, like, probably, I would say 2/3 of it, have nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's really odd how much they put in terms of marketing and, even the synopsis. Because this is, like, pretty much, an official synopsis I pulled. I didn't write these myself. So much of it focuses on Venom. It's just interesting, so.
Well, he is a crowd favorite.
Right. Well, that's the whole reason he's in this movie, too.
Yep.
Like, Raimi didn't want to have him in here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the studio said, nope, you put Venom in there, and that direction came all from the studio.
Wow, and I thought that's, like, when I first heard that Spider-Man 3 was coming out, I thought that Venom would be the villain, and then we got three villains. plus Peter's alter ego.
Oh, man. I honestly have a feeling this is going to be pretty con heavy. So should we get into the pros that that we have?
The one pro that I wrote down. It was also very late last night, so I was like, I was kind of tired, I think. Black suit Spider-Man? That's it.
The most famous poster that I remember is black suit Spider-Man in the rain with his head hanging down on the cathedral And so I thought it was going to be a lot of internal turmoil.
Right. With yeah, Peter well, that Parker. Was the tagline, the yeah. biggest battle lies within. Yeah. Okay. Would have been nice to see that.
Sorry, that's going into the cons. I thought that the Venom CGI was cool, not to be confused with the Eddie Brock face poking out of the Venom right. costume.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things that I had, like, I'll get to some of these in the cons. Like, the CGI in the rest of the film is mm-hmm. kind of sketchy. Mm-hmm. But Venom, mm-hmm. you know where they blew the budget. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even, like, by today's standards, like, Venom looks pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did feel that each villain by themselves would have been an interesting villain. So yes. there was the... So my pro is they had potential.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally had potential.
Except for Eddie Brock, as he appears in this movie as a whiny little sociopath, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one pro is this may be the only time we see Venom and Spider-Man in the same movie. Unfortunately, Sony is like, ooh, let's make a Venom movie.
Right.
Without Spider-Man, because that totally makes sense. Right.
Yeah, I'm really happy that they have the deal with Marvel now, because mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. cool to see Spider-Man with all the rest of the mm-hmm, Avengers and whatnot, mm-hmm. but, yeah, it's kind of odd how the rights are, or how mm-hmm. they've split it up, where it's like, well, you can have Spider-Man, but we're gonna do our own thing with yeah. these characters. Okay, yeah, that's gonna yeah. work out really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My last pro, I really liked the Peter fighting Venom with the sound wave scene. Mm-hmm. I felt it was well choreographed and produced. Mm-hmm. It was just really interesting and showed that Peter was using his brain, which unfortunately doesn't really happen very often in right. the Sam Raimi trilogy. Mm-hmm. You don't see Spider-Man, Peter Parker, the nerd, the science genius. You right. see, let's go punch some things.
Right. Cool. Well, I have down a few things too. I really like Bryce Dallas Howard as Gwen Stacy. Mm-hmm. I think she's great in the role. It's just too bad her character is treated so mm-hmm. poorly.
That's Bryce Dallas Howard?
Yeah. She's hard to recognize as a blonde.
Yeah, okay.
She looks totally different as a blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because Kirsten Dunst is blonde and they dyed her hair red.
So. Yeah.
In fact, I read a lot of things, people being like, they should have had Bryce Dallas Howard as Mary Jane. Yeah. You know, they should have just flipped the roles, but, you know, yeah. what do you do? But yeah, it's kind of funny, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But she looks like Gwen. Mm-hmm. She acts like Gwen, mm-hmm. as far as I can recall. But, yeah, her character's just treated like garbage.
Yeah.
I like Thomas Hayden Church as Sandman. Like, he looks mm-hmm. the part and everything. I thought the sequence where Spider-Man was, like, moving through the wreckage of, like, that crane... damage and whatnot mm-hmm. is pretty cool. Like, it's cool mm-hmm. how he's like moving around. It's kind of like reminds me of The Last Hobbit, where Legolas is like running up the stones, except this makes sense. Okay. Like, in context, it's kind of like the same idea, but this makes sense. Imagine that. And then there's the fight that Peter and Harry have, where Peter's wearing the black suit underneath his clothes yeah. for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't he just show up at Harry knows who he is. Why yeah. not just show up that way? But I like the banter that they have there. Like Peter's a jerk,
mm-hmm.
but what he says is actually pretty funny. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty yeah. cool. I liked that.
Yeah. So. Speaking of different villains and Sandman, I did think that the fights with Sandman, those were well done. The CGI was, as far as I remember, pretty good overall, but you say that there's issues with the CGI.
Oh, I have some severe issues with the CGI.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, because it's
that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I'm just like, I think I only watched this movie once. Mm-hmm. No, maybe twice, because I remember when I watched it in the theater. So there's the part where they're in the church,
mm-hmm.
and Eddie becomes Venom,
mm-hmm.
and then nature struck, so I had to... excuse myself. So when I came back in, suddenly Venom's on screen, like where he's actually Venom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh crap, I missed that. So I remember watching the movie one other time just to see that, like when mm-hmm. it came out on video, and it wasn't memorable enough because when I was watching it this time, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that's what happened. So mm-hmm. yeah, but I mean, it's been like, gosh, 10 years since mm-hmm. I watched this movie. So. Mm-hmm. I felt I should probably rewatch it, and yeah, the CGI, I was just like, wow, like, this is not good. Yeah. Well, it's just, it's bad when the CGI from the movie that came out 5 years before looks better. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Like, Sandman, when he turns into Sandman, it almost looks like what you would think of as, like, a test now. Mm, like, before yeah. final visual effects are done. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it mm-hmm. just looks... It just looks just obviously CG, and I can only imagine how bad it looked on a big screen.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and they I mean, think about it. You're having to CGI every single particle of sand, but right. they should have spent more time on it to get it right.
Well, and yeah. that's the thing, though. Like we mentioned, Venom looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they just shot the wad on Venom, and it's like Sandman is in way more of this movie than Venom. Like, I just don't. I it's the same thing though as like the Goblin, right? They had something. They probably could have done a lot of Venom with prosthetics and then CGI enhancements rather than just straight up CGI.
Yeah,
and focused on who really needed the CGI.
So
he does look better when it's dark out.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that giant golem creation.
Yeah.
Whatever that was.
Cons. Hey, remember how we only had one villain in the other two films? Well, now we're going to take a page from Joel Schumacher.
Which is never a page you want to take. Ever. At any time.
And not only add two villains, but three.
Right.
I completely forgot the whole entire thing with Harry.
Oh, right,
I completely forgot about that. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Well, they screwed the pooch on that storyline, too.
They could have easily, like we said earlier, they could have easily made a film
with Harry.
Yeah.
Oh,
or a film with Sandman.
Easily.
And a film with Venom.
Right. Yeah.
You know what they probably would have done at this point, though? Like, it would have been 30 minutes of Venom, and then Carnage would have come in for no reason.
Probably. But I think the transformation for Venom should have been a post-credit scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it should have been, like, all black suit Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He defeats the other villain, but then he defeats the symbiote.
Mm-hmm.
You see Eddie get trapped or whatever. Right. And then, like, ending credits, and then it cuts back to the church.
Right.
And he's, like, gets transformed.
Or so you're talking about, like, still seeing it, like, it plays out in the movie where, like, it envelops Eddie and then cut, and then post-credit scene.
Like, yeah, like, have it, like, be like that, and then, like, or yeah, he's trapped or whatever, envelops him, but then, like, cut back to, like,
post-credit
scenes, like, there's a cocoon or something, and all of a sudden he bursts out of it or something.
That would have been
rad,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got a great idea for retconning.
Let's
make Sandman responsible for Uncle Ben's death so Peter can be pissed off.
Right. Oh, okay, can I jump in on that?
Yeah.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
It is the stupidest, arguably the stupidest move that they made in this movie. Okay, so there's absolutely no rhyme or reason for it, right? And it's glossed over with a flashback and some tears, like so many things in this series. But, okay, this is like addition by subtraction. So Ben's murder is, like, it's, like, changing it is a ludicrous notion. Captain Stacy informs the Parkers that witnesses saw Sandman kill Ben, yet it took 5 years for the NYPD to tell them this. It also makes no context sense in context of the first film. Peter straight up confronts the burglar and accuses him of murdering his uncle. So you'd think that maybe this guy would have been like, whoa, dude, no, that wasn't me. Hear me out. No, I'm just going to be quiet and fall out of a window. It doesn't... it's just... It makes the thief dumber than he should be. It just, it's the worst idea ever.
Yeah.
Okay, no, wait. Batman and Robin has way many worse things. I'm not going to give it that level, but it's a dumb idea.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. I had a lot of thoughts on that.
Yeah. It's overstuffed with villains, this movie. It's way overstuffed with villains. Like, and, of course, they got to take Harry out of the equation, so let's give him short-term memory loss.
Hey, but you know what? With one ill-timed kiss from Mary Jane, he's going to be ready to kill again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is one paw. That is one pro. James Franco eating the pie, and the lady's like, how's the pie? So good.
So good.
It's just...
It is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's a pretty hilarious scene. Back to the cons. I love Venom. I think I was so excited when I...
Right.
They're putting Venom in this! Way too many villains. Way too many villains.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and he doesn't even come in until, like, the end of the second act.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, that's just a huge wasted opportunity.
Yep.
Yeah. Emo Peter.
I forgot.
I forgot the dad sequence.
No, I remembered it, but like people always ragged on it. I'm like, oh, it wasn't that bad. And this time around, I'm like, nope, no, it's that bad. Yeah. That is terrible.
But I love the fact that he's still a complete geek. So he's like,
right.
He's more of a dweeb.
A dweeb, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize it. Even Venom-infused Peter Parker doesn't realize that right. He has no style.
Right. I can get behind that, but, oh, man.
There are not one, but two love triangles. Mm-hmm. There's between Eddie Brock, I hate Peter Parker, and Peter and Gwen Stacy. And Eddie Brock, by the way, that's one thing I he's just like, I hate Peter. Please, God, let me kill Peter. Like, right. That's his prayer in the church.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, is, like, it's with Gwen, it's not even really, like, she explains it away. She's like, we went on one date, yeah. Eddie. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
If you can't be mine, then no one can have you.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, okay, Edward Cullen, jeez, chill it out.
I'm the world's most dangerous predator.
And then Harry, Peter, and MJ, and then the Harry and MJ thing with
the dance evil scene. Harry.
Well, the dance scene, I mean, when he has lost his memory, he's just like, wait, no, this is after he's gained his memory back, but pretending that he still doesn't right. have his memory. So he's acting like decent Harry, but he's really corrupt Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's just like... Oh, the fact that Gwen existed solely as a plot device so that Peter could tick MJ off.
Yeah, I had that one here, too. Yeah. That, because like I said, Gwen is, like, I think just as iconic and integral mm-hmm. to Peter's character.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen is set up just to mm-hmm. have Peter embarrass Mary Jane, mm-hmm. and she... I mean, there's a comic where... Peter is talking to, I think it's called Spider-Man Blue, and it's a story about Peter and Gwen.
Mm.
And there's a part where he's in there, Peter and Mary Jane are in the apartment, Mary Jane's in a different room, and Peter's mm-hmm. got a picture of Gwen, and he's talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically tells her that he still loves her,
mm.
and he misses her.
Mm.
And it kind of made me think of like how that would be, to like mm-hmm. have somebody that you loved... and they died, you wouldn't stop loving them, even if you yeah. found someone else. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Mary Jane, like, overhears this,
mm-hmm.
and she totally understands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's a really, really sweet scene.
Yeah.
And it just shows how much that character is important to Spider-Man and his mythos. And then, yeah. then you have this,
yeah.
where it's just, like...
Where it's just, like, you exist so that I can dance with you and show off to MJ.
Yeah.
And then when the only time that she's like, oh, I'm my own person. Oh my gosh, you did this
right.
to show her I am so sorry.
Yeah.
And then she walks out, and then that's the end.
Yeah, and that's true to her character. Like,
yeah,
she would be
yeah.
like she would apologize.
Be yeah, she would be appalled.
But yeah, it's just,
yeah.
it's garbage treatment of
yeah.
what a great character, you mm-hmm. know, she deserved mm-hmm. to be treated as.
Harry turns around too quickly in the 11th hour.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that much rage doesn't just disappear.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, my dad killed himself? Oh, well, then we're best buddies. Let me come and fly in and save the day.
I was telling her last night when she was talking, reading some of this bad news. So basically, it's his Martha scene.
That's what, okay. Hey, I'm going to jump into that because I had that too. Okay, this is the butler, right? Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him, if you don't count maybe him being the driver
mm-hmm.
in the first movie, you see him once in Spider-Man 2, and then three times in this movie before this scene. And now he holds key knowledge to Norman, and apparent knowledge that Norman was the Green Goblin somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he never thought that this would be handy to tell Harry. At any point in, like, the last 5 years of these movies span.
Your father was an evil sociopath, and I think I might know where his evil stash is, but I'm not going to get rid of it.
Right. Well, and it also doesn't make sense, because he's like, I cleaned your father's wounds. Where? At the morgue? Where? When? Like, if that's the case, the NYPD is doing a really crappy job. Oh, well, you're his butler. Yeah, we'll let you clean him up. But, yeah, no, basically, that is... the Martha moment of this film.
Why did you say that name?
Oh, my dad killed himself? Well, Harry and I can be best friends again. We're chill. No! Why?
Why?
Like, the reason that Norman Osborn went crazy, I mean, there was that anger within him already at the beginning, mm-hmm. but you saw his descent into madness because of the injection, the gas injection, to make him the super soldier. But you don't see that with Harry. You don't right. see, it's just, he's still himself. He just has superpowers now.
Right. Oh, dear.
Yeah, there's a lot in this movie that just doesn't make sense.
It didn't feel like a Spider-Man movie, in my opinion. It felt more like a bad soap opera. Oh, we've got MJ trying to get on Broadway, and we've got the love triangle, and the other love triangle, and the right. bad boyfriend, and the other bad boyfriend, and the other bad boyfriend. Right. And hey, yeah. they're superpowers.
Right. So the opening credits recap, it's not, like, really bad, mm-hmm. but it's, like, the last movie upped the ante. Like, that was really cool. And here's mm-hmm. just, like, extra scenes. So mm-hmm. that is the least bad one that I have. Okay, let's create a web in the middle of a park in New York City. Subtle, Peter. That's super smart. Genius. In the original comics, Harry ultimately finds out about his father's double life and becomes a second Green Goblin. And in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, Harry is exposed to the same serum that turned Norman into the Green Goblin, making him into the Hobgoblin. In this movie, they kind of seem to settle in the middle and called him simply the New Goblin. Mm-hmm. Whatever they call him, his suit looks like crap.
Yeah.
It's like...
He got the leftovers.
Right. Yeah. Which is just ridiculous because they show, like, all of Norman's gear in there, and it's like, okay, you just didn't think to take any of the military-grade operations. No, I'm going to use this knockoff snowboarding suit.
And it's like, what, night goggles, maybe?
Right, yeah.
Not even a helmet, which is why he knocks his head.
Right. Well, that's... His whole top of his head is exposed. Yeah, that's smart.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, he uses it. I can't use the old glider. I gotta be hip.
Right, yeah.
Surfboard time.
Right. Oh, this doesn't make any sense. And there's another thing, too. Like, I heard people say that if you look in the lair, one of the masks is, like, yellow.
Mm.
Like, he was turning it into, like, a Hobgoblin mask. But if what they showed was yellow, then I'm wearing green right now. Like, it just yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's...
Totally,
bold,
yeah.
You know? Let's see. This isn't... I know that they're sticking to kind of comics, but we have May and Ben Parker, who are Peter's aunt and uncle, although they look old enough to be Peter's grandparents. Mm. The same applies to Gwen's father. So I'm just glad that in both recent reboots, The Amazing and then the MCU, they de-aged both Captain Stacy and May.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does whatever happened to Flint Marko affect him at the cellular level, it also allows his clothes to turn into sand and then reconstitute. That makes a lot of sense. So this one really bugged me. Mary Jane is super whiny in this movie. She's so whiny. She's jealous of the attention Peter gets and constantly putting his life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But then she gets all bent out of shape when like Peter is like trying to like console her. She also gets super bent out of shape for Peter sharing their kiss with Gwen at the celebration. Okay, so right or wrong as to whether Peter should have done that, that's totally up for fair game. But Mary Jane did the exact same thing with her fiancé, no less, in the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
So when she does it with John Jameson, it's all good. But when Peter does it, it's like sacrosanct. Like, how dare you? Like, okay, hypocrite. The symbiote storyline and its personality makes no sense. So according to Dr. Connors, the symbiote wants to bond with Peter, but is content to just chill on the spider suit. Mary Jane loses one Broadway gig, and suddenly her only option is to be a waitress at a club. Wasn't her face plastered all over billboards in the last movie?
That's true.
Okay, so another thing that makes no sense. Peter hits Mary Jane. That one's just not cool. I get why they went that direction, but I think he could have just been verbally abusive rather than physically abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Peter kind of turns into a misogynist. With this black suit, and I don't care for that. Like, that just doesn't seem... Like, he says, like, it amplifies, the, like, somebody's personality, especially
but that
aggression.
That wasn't in his personality.
Right, yeah. No. Yeah, he was never a misogynist. So, Eddie Brock has fantastic vision. He can clearly see Peter's facial features up at least 6 flights in the dark. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was trying to think, did he yell out or something, and then he heard Peter's voice?
Well, he can hear him, but he, like, looks up, and he's like, watching, he's like... yeah, Peter. Or it's Parker? Like, yeah, yeah, whatever it is he says, it's clearly identifying Peter. And it's like, okay,
yeah.
I can't see his face clearly from the angle you've got at his point of view, but sure. Okay. Once bonded with the symbiote, Eddie inexplicably knows everything about Flint Marko. So this is explained in the comics. The symbiote grants you knowledge that it gains from the host, but it's never explained in the movie.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, that does not explain how Venom finds Flint Marko in a seemingly random alley. That doesn't make any sense. In the climactic battle, Sandman is mentioned, and everybody sees him, but then it's forgot about as the focus shifts to Venom. Evidently, the crowd witnessing Sandman forgot about him, too, because when he pops back, everybody's like, "Ooh!" Okay, you guys just saw him. When bonded with the symbiote, Eddie clearly isn't wearing a shirt when it pulls back to show his face, yet when Peter forcibly removes Eddie from the symbiote, he's fully clothed. Nobody caught these things. Yeah, well, it's like just this little things like continuity. Nobody caught. Kind of like the trident. But at least that was one thing, not 40. Harry is impaled through the chest and is thrown down and falls 10 stories, but he's going to hang in there just long enough to say goodbye. And then Gwen is at Harry's funeral. Why? She had no scenes with Harry.
That's true. That's true. Unless she was going to support Peter, but why would she support Peter? Right. When she is such... When he was so, like, basically... Yeah.
Right. Very amoral. So, just there were just things there that... I guess to kind of jump into my final thoughts here. Like, I watched this movie over two nights, and it was split fairly down the middle. I watched the first half, and then about the second half when he puts on the black suit. And the first half, like, while it's flawed, it feels more like something that could have fit in with the other two movies in terms of tone and logic. Mm-hmm. The second half, though, it's like just throwing everything into a pot and at a wall and just seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, they forget that certain characters existed and then suddenly they're back and there's just lazy writing and notions of, like, oh, like I mentioned with Mary Jane, like suddenly like the only job she can get is at a crazy club, and yet she was clearly, you know, successful in the last movie. Mm-hmm. So, and then the movie just like ends. So like the latter half of the movie is just, it's just a complete mess. Like none of it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and then it's like, I just want to be a good person, says Sandman. Right. I'm going to fly into the sunset. What was the sunrise. It? The sunrise.
Yeah. What was it from How It Should Have Ended?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm a good person.
My daughter
is dying. This makes it all right.
Makes it okay for me to break the law.
Right. The biggest takeaway I have from this was that I long maintained that I liked this movie better than Spider-Man 2, but congratulations, universe. You win. So, this movie. Did you guys have any other like final thoughts on it, or
if you were disappointed in the Venom story in Spider-Man 3, I highly recommend watching the cartoon Spectacular Spider-Man's Venom arc. It is so much better and makes so much sense. You may have to get past the drawing style. I know that the animation, the style of the characters and all that other stuff did throw me off, but the storylines in that series is awesome.
I'm just realizing how terrible of a movie this is.
Well, that was my thing, too. Like,
it's not that bad.
Right. It's like the Phantom Menace syndrome, right? Like, no, it's good, trust me. And then you watch it. Oh.
Yeah.
I got a lot of apologizing to do. The last thing I really have is, like, it's bad. Like, but I don't think that it was the nail in the coffin. Yeah. I don't think it's that bad.
They could have redeemed it.
Right.
But they chose to not do anything until it was time that if they didn't do something, then they would lose their contract. So they made Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, what was kind of weird about that was, like, they wanted Raimi to, like, kick it around in, like, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I don't want to make the same mistake as last time.
Yeah.
And so he wanted an extra year. And they said no. And then they decided to reboot it and then just released it, like, a year later, like he wanted it in the first place.
What?
So, but that was their thing. Like, oh, okay, well, never mind. We're just going to reboot it.
Sounds
so,
like a Guillermo and Peter Jackson thing with The Hobbit.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, Peter Jackson's back? Here's your money.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they had it planned to do, I think they were talking about either doing 4 and 5 simultaneously, like mm-hmm. filming back to back, or do 4 and then do 5 and 6 back to back. And I think they could have redeemed, like you said, this movie at that point. I do think it's unfortunate that they just didn't give Raimi the time that he wanted or needed.
Yeah.
Especially because it's like, I get, yeah, like they wanted to do something before they had, because obviously the rights issues. I mean, they just ended up releasing it a year later than they planned on anyways. Mm-hmm. It's like, why not just give him the time? Maybe it was like 5 months later than they wanted, but still, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of sad that he didn't get the time to do the story that he wanted, but knowing what I know about where they wanted to go, I'm also kind of glad that didn't happen.
Wait, so, what are the rumors? I love the rumors.
The plan was that they were going to do The Vulture, and they were going to introduce Felicia Hardy.
Okay.
And I don't have a problem with that. And the casting that they were going toward was Anne Hathaway.
Hmm.
And I don't have a problem with Anne Hathaway. Like, she was one of my favorite parts of Dark Knight Rises, and I thought her Catwoman was great. But they weren't going to have her be the Black Cat.
Oh.
They were going to have her be a new villain called the Vultress.
Oh.
What?
Exactly.
I remember hearing about the Vulturess in rumors.
Yeah.
But so they weren't going to have the Vulture, or they were going to have the Vulturess
both.
And Felicia Hardy.
Felicia Hardy would be the Vulturess.
Oh.
And it's like, what? There's no, like Harry being New Goblin or Hobgoblin. Like, I don't have a problem with that because there's precedent where they've changed things up. But like, there's never been any kind of situation where Felicia Hardy has been anything other than the Black Cat.
Yeah.
And so it just does not compute with my with my mind. So, I mean, if that's the way they were going to go, I'm, like, kind of glad it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I, at the same time, though, I just don't think that... I don't think that that movie was the Batman and Robin, you know, killed the franchise. I just think...
For,
sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, just the, killed the franchise for, like, almost 10 years.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't anything that bad. I mean, it's bad, but every franchise has a clunker in it every once in a while, you know? I mean, somehow James Bond has kept going, and there's some crap in it, you know? I guess I should take that back, because that got rebooted after Die Another Day.
Thank you, Elisa, for joining us.
Yeah, fun. You're welcome. Fun.
Another voice
in
the mix. We've been recording these episodes in December. And so, I know that they'll be airing in January, but new year, new episodes. We'll come back with something we had the idea to do a long time ago. I think we recorded it, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think we recorded it, but it was before we upped production quality and everything. This was like years ago.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing, it was a feature we wanted to do every now and then called audiovisual torture of like,
really bad B movies,
like not something like Spider-Man 3 where it's like this is bad but it's got redeeming qualities.
It's like these are like Mystery Science Theater 3000 bad movies.
Right, just talking about something that's just truly atrocious. And we'll come back with that. And oh gosh, what was the other thing we're gonna talk about? The Last Jedi.
Obviously.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.